I wonder what book you're reading at the moment. Maybe it's a thriller, a love story, maybe it's a biography. I know not everyone's into reading books. Maybe you're into watching films. Maybe it's a soap opera. Maybe it's some kind of box set, something on Netflix. But throughout them all, we have to be gripped by the story. Stories generally are so important, aren't they? Stories are so important. We've got a story. Our lives tell a story. And this evening, I want us to look at his story, meaning the Lord Jesus, your story, and then their story. His story, rather. In the beginning, it doesn't start with someone. In the beginning, the Bible quite clearly states, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, it begins with God. This is how the story begins. Then throughout these pages, we find out who this God is in all his glory, in all his perfection. And then we see his people who seek glory for themselves. And we see mankind in all their failing, their rebellion. And we see a people who deserve God's judgment. And time again, we see God's mercy, God's love. And we see at the center, like I said, God himself. But as we read his story, as we read the scriptures, we see ourselves. Not perfect, in fact, very far away from God, in living in rebellion. But throughout scripture, it points to one to come who is going to restore the relationships between God and man that's been broken, the relationships between one another. And we see that unfold as we see scripture unfolding this great story of salvation. And this evening, I'd like us to look at his story, that's the Lord Jesus, through the lens of Isaiah. Jesus in Isaiah. See, the prophet Isaiah wrote after the reign of King Uzziah, and nearly 800 years before the arrival of Jesus. And at this time, God's people were divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And in the midst of the wickedness of the people, God gave Isaiah a glorious vision of the heavenly throne and called Isaiah to minister to a hard-hearted people of Israel. Isaiah 6 verse 9 says, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving." God was about to reveal wonderful truth through the prophet of Isaiah, but the people were not going to receive this amazing news, this amazing truth. And earlier on in the book, Isaiah tells of a coming Messiah. Isaiah 9 verse 2 and verse 6 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." According to Isaiah, there would be a light to shine into the darkness of Israel. A child will be born, and he will be called Mighty God. Mighty God. And Everlasting Father. And a couple of chapters later, Isaiah recalls the promise given to King David, the son of Jesse. Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And although Israel may have wondered if God's promise to keep David's descendant on the throne forever had been forgotten, Isaiah says that one of David's descendants will indeed take the throne again. Like David, this promised branch of David will be filled with the Spirit and will lead the people in the fear of the Lord. And so, as you read through the book of Isaiah, we see Isaiah pointing to this one. And his people will not believe. And that we see that as we look at Isaiah 53. There are just some bullet points just to highlight. With your Bible open, they're on the screen. Descriptions of Jesus and what will come. His people will not believe him. Who has believed our messenger? Isaiah says, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Secondly, he will be despised and rejected. This was the Lord Jesus' story, that he was despised and rejected. No one wants to be rejected, do they? We all want to be liked and fit in with the norm of the day. We don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. But this was not part of Jesus' agenda. He knew that he would be despised and rejected. This was what made him who he was. But also, he will suffer greatly. He'll suffer greatly. And then he'll be pierced and crushed for his people. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But also we describe that his wounds will heal us and bring peace. We will still turn our backs on him, even though he came into the world to restore the relationship between God and man. His Father willed his suffering and all that would happen. You see, as we look at the Lord Jesus, as we look at his story, nothing happened by accident or by fault of the Lord Jesus. His story was planned. His story was one that his Father determined. His story was that Jesus submitted, Philippians speaks about this, doesn't it? Submitted to the will of his Father, that he became nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And then we see in verse 11, he will justify his people. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, Isaiah says, and he will bear their iniquities. And then after his sufferings, his Father will be satisfied, Isaiah speaks about. And Isaiah brings three bright hopes to Israel and to us, that he's a coming king, a coming child rather, a coming king, and a coming servant. Few would have guessed that these promises would be fulfilled in a man in Nazarene, Jesus Christ. As it says, what Isaiah foreshadows, this is a commentator, what Isaiah foreshadows in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfills in the New Testament. His story makes sense of the story, and he will one day end the story. See, as we look at the Lord Jesus, and as we look at his story, as we look at what he came to do, what he achieved as he died on the cross, we see that his story was a very significant, the story, in fact, the story that's why we are here, which moves on to your story. And as you're here this evening, we have all got stories to tell. We've all got stories to tell about how the Lord Jesus has come into our lives, how the Lord Jesus has transformed us. And it's been really encouraging, and just chatting to Alan over the last few days, to hear three of our members of our youth team share their stories with some of the children and young people. And they made themselves quite vulnerable, the leaders who shared their story, as they shared how Jesus came into their lives. But it was his story that made their story possible. His story made their story possible. And each of those youth leaders that spoke honestly, with great vulnerability, about the challenges and the struggles. But what was clear throughout, and I'm sure if we all had an opportunity to speak about our story, Jesus makes sense of our story because of his story. Jesus makes sense of our story. As we sang earlier, we were lost, and Jesus rescued us. He chose us. We did not choose him. He chose us. He's adopted us into his family. You see, on our own, we are by nature rebels. We want to live life our own way. There is nothing in us that would want to follow the way of the Master. And yet Jesus has called us to be his disciples. And if you want to know what our story is like, you just go to chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the Bible to see Adam and Eve's story, to see human beings living a perfect life with God and yet ultimately wanting to live life their own way. And we see sin creating havoc for themselves, but therefore us too are in that story. We are part of the story of creation as we see ourselves living lives, wanting to rule, live our lives, saying that we know better than God. And so when that creation story unfolds, as we see it not turning out as it should be, the consequences of the fall was that there was a physical death. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. There is a creation that is under a curse. This is what Paul writes in Romans 8. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to the frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. But also, man now has a sinful nature. Psalm 51, verse 5. Surely I was sinful at birth, the psalmist wrote, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And then there, obviously, like I said, is the broken relationship with God. Isaiah 59, verse 2. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, Isaiah says, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. But the beauty of our story and the beauty of knowing that we're part of his story is these things are reversed, whereby our relationship are not what they were, that we will enjoy new birth. We have enjoyed new birth. Death is not the end. We see it through our lives. And one day, ultimately, we will see a new creation. where all the wrongs will be put right. So his story, your story, their story. We've spoken a little bit, as you would in any story at the beginning. But as we look at their story, what I'm thinking about this evening are those that would not say that their story is part of his story, of the Lord Jesus, that they would not call themselves believers, they would not say that they follow the Lord Jesus. And so with that, we are thinking about the 65% or so of children and families that will come here this week who have no reference of his story. And their story may be very different to your story, as they have reference points which are not our reference points. As they look at creation, they will say that there is no God, that they are an accident, for instance. They buy into what's preached at them in the school, in school and at home, on in the media. And so to say that there is a loving God who created them in his image is totally alien. They can't see this. They may have not even been shown about the reality of knowing and having a relationship with God. That's why I think it's really important, for instance, that children and families leave with this at the end of the week, where they can know what it means to be friends with God. So please pray for that booklet as it goes out on Thursday evening. And then these are things that you're familiar with. So creation, they'll have no reference point to God in their story. Fall, what fall, they would think. What sin? For them, sin is the naughty but nice things in their life. The things that maybe they shouldn't do, but they can get away with it. Those things that maybe makes life what it is. Makes life fun even. And so that's why, for instance, as Mike teaches the Bible to the children, as the Bible's explained, as we see Jesus, as we look at his story, there's lots of hurdles that he has to get over as he explains the truth. There's no assumptions that can be made. You know, first of all, do they even know about God? Do they know about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done? The concept of love for some of them, as we talk about God being love, might be alien to many of them as we think about their story. And the memory verse this year is, like sheep, we've gone astray. And we need to pray that the children and the parents see this, that they are living lives independent of God, rebels like sheep. It's quite humbling, isn't it, to be called a sheep? Quite offensive, maybe. But we need to explain the fall, explain that we have turned our backs on God, that we live life our own way, and we live and we die with the consequences of those choices that we make. And so this is not making a judgment on the children and on the families that will be coming this week, because we are all work in progress, and it's all because of God's grace that we are where we are in our story, and we're not the finished article. One day we will be. But as we communicate, as we speak, and we can apply this to all of our situations, in our workplaces, maybe in our families, we all have this story. And so, as we move on, we look to redemption. We look to what the Lord Jesus has done. He is the Good Shepherd, as we've sung about it already. He is, as we talked, and Paul opened this morning's service, talked about Jesus becoming the Lamb that was slain. He went from being a shepherd to being a lamb. We'll sing about that, in reference to that, in our closing hymn this evening. But we need to rejoice, and this is why, as Christians, the good news is good news. It's not kind of, okay, let's move on. The gospel and what Jesus has achieved as he died on the cross, as he took our sin, as he's brought us into this relationship with God, is not just something that is part of our culture, but we should rejoice in being redeemed and being bought with a great cost every day. We preach the gospel to ourselves every day because we are sinners. We are rebels. We are, yes, created in God's image, but we want to live life our own way. And we need to remind ourselves, but also, as Mike, don't worry, I've talked through these things with Mike already, but, you know, we need to be clear and explicit as we speak about the gospel. And then we talk as well about the new creation, the world we all want. We are part of the problem. Jesus is the solution. This world isn't what it should be. We're part of that problem. Yes, we are called to be God's ambassadors and to change society with the mandate of being his stewards and commissioned to speak about truth and to live lives which reflect God and follow him. But we're not there. And so we look forward. We are people of hope. We are people where this is just part of our story. His story is a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus' story makes sense of our story. But certainly for this week, for Holiday Bible Club, and for all of us as we love and we pray for maybe people to come on Alpha, we want their story to be a part of his story. So there's much to pray for. And let's keep on praying for this week. Thank you for your prayers already. But my prayer is that children this week will look back on the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th of August 2019 as being a time when the gospel and his story became their story. We want them to see that they are like the religious in response to the Good Samaritan. We want them to see that they are on the edge of society like Zacchaeus, and yet Jesus wants to eat with them. And yes, they are ugly. You've got to watch how you say that to little ones. But you know, they are like lepers. We're all like lepers. But Jesus wants to be near us. Jesus wants to change us and transform us. So much to pray for. Let's be thankful for the Lord Jesus and his story. Let's keep going in our story as we look to Jesus. And let's pray for their story, that their story would be about his story. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus. And we rejoice and we say each week what it means to follow him, to be reminded of his story as we read Scripture, as his name is on every page of Scripture. Father God, we thank you for our story, that we are rebels. We were rebels living our own way, independent of you. And yet you called us to be your children. And Father, this evening we pray for those names that are only names at the moment, but they will be little people that many of the Holy Bible Club leaders will get to know, and the families. And we pray that their story would be rejoicing in his story. For your name and your glory. Amen. Well, we're going to end our time together this evening with There Is a Higher Throne. And there's a line about the Lamb becoming a Shepherd King. So let's stand and sing this together.